Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
It's been a wild weekend. Things are busy here. And so if you'd like to call in, feel free. We've got just a few headlines to cover. So Seattle schools, well, a Seattle public school has renamed Easter eggs. They believe in diversity and tolerance, of course, and respect for all views. You think they'd rename anything to do with the Quran or Islam or American Indians? I don't think so. But they renamed Easter eggs. They wanted the kids to have an Easter egg hunt. And so, which is hardly Christian. I mean, it's hardly Christian. But they wanted the kids to have an Easter egg hunt, so they couldn't say Easter egg. They couldn't bring themselves to be diverse or tolerant, so they called them spring spheres. And we're not making this up. You can't make this stuff up. Spring spheres. And that reminds me of the Southern Baptist Convention. The president of the convention for years has argued that the public schools are not anti-Christian. And it is so funny what was found out just a few years ago, 3-4 years ago. The public school closest to his home, and you can find this at exodusmandate.com, and we reported it on our own website, kgov.com. The public school closest to his home was having a Christmas party for the kids, but they couldn't call it a Christmas party, of course. So it's a winter festival, a winter party. And they actually instructed the parents of the kids to, when they brought in plates and napkins, do not bring in green and red napkins. Green and red. Now, how could you be biased against two basic colors of the rainbow? Don't bring in green and red napkins because they remind people of Christmas. Red and green napkins remind people of Christmas, so you can't bring them in. And that was an illustration of the hatred, the intolerance of the godless public schools toward Christianity. That what Christmas celebrations in America are hardly Christian. I mean, they're totally secular. The Bible doesn't have red and green as the colors for Christ's birth. But that's the degree of the hatred of Christianity, the intolerance. So those who claim that they teach tolerance and diversity and free speech are intensely intolerant. And it was Christians, to the extent that Christians played a role in founding America on biblical principles, Christians established what probably has been the freest nation regarding religious freedom in the history of the world. The freest nation. And you think that today's liberals would do that? You think if today's liberals were establishing a country, they would give Christians equal rights? Do you think? I don't think. All right, so that's the spring spheres. The spring spheres in Seattle. Beautiful part of the country up there. I lived there for half a year when I worked for Microsoft in Redmond. I worked at the mothership. You know, if you ever go to Redmond, Microsoft's sprawling campus, and they have all these office buildings that are designed to maximize outdoor walls and window space for everybody. And in the middle of the campus, there's one that is like an order of magnitude larger than the others, and that's the mothership. So I worked at the mothership and one day had a meal in Bill Gates' home. But that was before he was married, and so he didn't have any furniture. But it was still fun. And he's very godless and destructive in the money that he spends. Of course, some of it, of course, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Some of it is beneficial. I mean, if you help provide clean water for people in Africa or anywhere, that's beneficial. But supporting child killing and homosexuality and that we've evolved from apes and all that is extremely destructive to hundreds of millions of children. Okay, there's a Now, this is in St. Louis. That was a public school in Seattle. Here's a public school in St. Louis, Missouri, according to CBS. A teacher was fired for ordering students to remove their underwear. So now, this is actually a good story, because one would think that he'd be given a promotion or at least a raise. But he's been fired, so the teacher wanted to determine, he wanted to find out which child went to the bathroom in his pants. And so so the teacher ordered the kids to go in, third and fourth graders, were told they had to go into the bathroom and remove his and her, their underwear, and then the teacher would figure out who went to the bathroom. And that's just really weird. But anyway, the teacher's fired, and maybe, I'd say, likely will show up at a public school district near you. Okay. The Wall Street Journal had a tremendous editorial on April 12th, 6 days ago, about the male and female wage gap. If you've looked at that, it is just so much fun, because they look at a big swath of the labor force and they say, when you compare apples to apples, women were doing better than men in their pay, better than men. And so, of course, many women, they want to work fewer hours, many. And if you look at, for example, deaths at work, on the job, overwhelmingly, it's men who are being killed on the job, because men take riskier jobs and more dangerous jobs and more outdoor jobs. And men work more grueling hours, typically. I mean, when you look at it by millions of workers, and in worse weather and with worse working conditions and conditions that tend to kill you 5 or 10 years younger than cushier jobs indoors with climate control. And so they point out with a new major study that workers, urban workers, like in all our cities all over the country, between the ages of 22 and 30, for single childless workers. So they're, by doing that, you're not considering, well, some women are working fewer hours because they have to take care of the kids when they get sick and all. So single childless workers in cities across America, ages, so through their 20s, women earned 8% more than men. Now, I remember the feminists complaining that our public education is biased against women because women don't do as well in math and science. And I always wondered, well, why didn't they list every other subject, which women tend to do better in? Why do they only look at two? Are there only two subjects in school? So men gravitate toward math and science, and women gravitate toward language and communication and relational subjects and the arts. And then also they say there's a bias in healthcare, because our healthcare industry focuses more on men than on women, right? Now, does that sound believable? Does that sound plausible that we spend more money on healthcare for men versus women? But women live about, what is it now, 8 years longer than men? 8 years longer than men. So if there really was a gender-based bias, you'd think that men would be living longer than women, because men were getting the better health care. Women were getting ripped off. But guess what? If women want to have a bigger percent of the health care services, just start dying. Start dying more readily. And if you die more readily, like say a few million a year, if you die more readily, then you'll be in the hospital more, and you'll be in intensive care more, and you'll get more major surgeries, and then the feminists will be happy because we'll have feminized intensive care. We'll have feminized major surgeries. Wouldn't that be great? Just like the feminists will not be happy until we've feminized the prisons so that half of all prisoners are female, right? And that's a goal we got to work on, because otherwise, well, society is just unjust. So why don't the feminists say, you know, society is unjust because more men than women go to prison, so we're going to fight for equality for men? Why doesn't the AARP say, you know, the retired people, leftist socialist lobbying group, why don't they say, we're concerned that we're spending too much of our grandchildren's money and our great-grandkids, and since we represent parents and grandparents all over the country, we're calling for fiscal responsibility and less spending on benefits and entitlements for seniors, because we love and care about our kids and our grandkids. Why don't they do that? You see, we live in a world, whether it's the godless education system or the feminists or the media or the politicians, that there is a rebellion against God that shows itself no matter where you look. There is a rebellion against God. And so Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he said to some workers, he paid them way more an hourly rate than other workers. And some of the workers were envious. And it reminds me of the Equal Rights Amendment. And how dare you pay, you know, somebody less per hour for the same work as somebody else? And Jesus said, Matthew 21, is it? Jesus said, is your eye evil because I'm good? You agreed to work for this rate. You agreed to work for it. So why is it that when I pay him more than I pay you, that you are envious? You know, and envy will kill you. So Jesus said, is it not lawful for me to do what I want with my own money? Is it not lawful? And of course it is lawful. So when we study the Bible, God's word, we become equipped to influence our society and the people around us. We had a Bible study last night on Titus chapter 2. It was just so much fun. So much fun. And people around the country, a lot of listeners don't quite realize this, but people around the country join in our Sunday night Bible studies. And folks have been doing this for years. And they either download it off of our website, kgov.com, or they get it. We mail it to them on CDs. And yes, we do charge for it because that's how we stay on the air. Otherwise, we couldn't afford to be on the air. But for all these years, also, we have always said from day one, for 20 years on the air, if you can't afford it, whatever you can afford. So what do we charge per month for our monthly Bible study subscription? $34.99. Why not $35? Why do we charge $34.99? I never could understand that. But the business managers always insist $34.99. For a car, it doesn't matter if you're buying a house for $7 million, it'll be $6,999.9. So you could enjoy our study in the book of Titus. Lord willing, that'll be completed a week from Sunday night. And so that'll be added. We have dozens of Bible study albums on so many fascinating topics and on many, many of the books of the Bible. And some we have also on DVD. And that's just tremendous. We have some of our studies, our more recent studies are available on DVD, as are our monthly sermons. So, oh, and by the way, speaking of our Bible study and our theology, I'm in a debate this week. It's a one-week debate on Facebook. And so I can't invite you to tune into it or to read along with it because you have to be friends of the person who's hosting it. And the Christian who's hosting it has 5,000 friends on his Facebook page. And that's the maximum that Facebook allows, 5,000. And for a private page, they have for free. And what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I had the honor of being in a debate. I pastored Denver Bible Church, and we had a debate with, I'm sure you know the name, D. James Kennedy, and his ministry. He has, well, he's with the Lord now. He has a seminary with Professor of New Testament, Dr. Samuel Lamerson, and he and I had an online debate about predestination and free will and related topics, and it was moderated, a written debate in front of a live internet audience, and we have it printed out as a manuscript, and it's, what is it, 240 pages or so, and it's available online for reading for free. Just go to KGOV.com, click on writings, Bob's writings, and you can see, well, it's so much fun that there's a president of a seminary, and this president was interested in debating again on a similar topic, sort of predestination and free will. And so we are about halfway through the debate, almost halfway through the debate, and it's really fun. So, Lord willing, we'll find a way when the debate is over to let you in on it. But in the meantime, you could look at the debate that we had with D. James Kennedy's ministry, and that's just so, so fun. Okay, a couple other things. We've got a few more news headlines, and I'd like to tell you about something that happened today, although I won't share the names of the leaders or which organizations they were with, but it was really great. Four leaders, and so I'll tell you that in a moment. But first, Standard & Poor's, they have lowered their credit rating outlook for the U.S., not for our current credit rating, but S&P has lowered its outlook for America's long-term credit rating. It was stable. That's how they rated. Our long-term credit rating was stable. They changed it to negative. How's that? Now, S&P, they're the guys that publish the financial analysis of corporations and governments. They have their famous S&P 500 rating of top companies. And how financially stable are these companies and governments? And so Standard & Poor's has now lowered America's credit rating, our future rating, our long-term credit rating, from stable to negative. Now, you know what's interesting with the Republicans having increased our deficit by, you know, what, billions, tens of billions, $100 billion, as they did. And every Republican presidential administration since World War II has done more deficit spending than any previous Democratic president to date, to this very day. Now, if a Republican wins in the next election, then who can tell? I think it'd be hard to outspend Obama. That would be quite a feat. But when George W. Bush was elected, it was to bring financial sanity to the federal government, and he outspent even Bill Clinton, the socialist Bill Clinton, by hundreds of billions of dollars. He outspent his administration. So who can tell, but I doubt it. Just don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion, because he'd try to spend it. But it's interesting about when you break God's law, that the government is stealing from us taxpayers. The government has the right to tax us, but they don't have the right to tax us, let's say for argument's sake, 100%. That would be plunder, and people would die if the government took everything you made. Well, likewise, the government doesn't have the right to tax us 90% as it did in the 60s when John F. Kennedy was determined to lower the rate significantly, dramatically. And I remember, I have a long memory, you know. I was around back then. I was about 1 year old when JFK became president. if I recall. And Bob Dole was in the U.S. Senate then. Bob Dole, the Republicans nominated him to be their presidential candidate because it was his turn, because they weren't sure whether he was alive or dead. It was something they had to do before he died. And because the media manipulated them by praising Bob Dole for a year before the primaries as though he were the elder statesman of the party. And they did that to put a loser at the head of the Republican ticket. And the Republicans, being lapdogs and lacking wisdom, just found themselves with Bob Dole as their candidate. And Bob Dole ran against government spending and for low taxes. And I don't know that there was ever a tax increase that he voted against or a tax cut that he favored. I do remember that when JFK, because I researched it, when JFK wanted to lower taxes, the top rate from 90%, Bob Dole voted against it. That was Bob Dole. And the Republicans, he's for small government. So is John McCain. So is George W. Bush. They're for small government, fewer entitlements, less government control of health care. It's all absurd. Well, George W. Bush is against abortion. You got to give that to him. Oh, except that he supported 3.3 million abortions while he was president. So do you see all the insanity that Christians quite often, because we don't study the Bible, do you study the Bible daily? Do you go to a weekly Bible study? Do you go to a Sunday school that really digs into the Bible and deals with the hard issues and the current issues of the day? Or the teachings always on a tithing and a baptism? And maybe three other topics: tithing, baptism, and forgive everyone. Tithing, baptism, and forgive everyone, and forgive those who don't tithe unless they're baptized. And baptize those who don't forgive, especially when they tithe. And that's what we do in Sunday school. So if you are not in a regular Bible study, then I really urge you to study the Bible with us at Denver Bible Church here at Bob and Yurt Live. We've been doing this for 20 years on the air. It's been over 35 years. What has it been since I became a Christian and began studying the Bible intensely in 1973? So what is that now, 38 years? I can't count on the air. 83, 93, 113. 38 years. And so the Bible teaches that God has given the gift of teaching so that we can better learn from his word, the scriptures. And no one in the world needs Bob and Yart's Bible teachings. Nobody needs that. I remember Marilyn Hickey 35 years ago, practically, on the radio saying, I have this three-tape series on prayer, and you need this series. You need it. You need it if you're going to pray to God. You need the series, and it's $20 for three audio tapes. You need the Marilyn Hickey prayer series for $20. Just mail it in to the Happy Church. I was a brand-new Christian listening to Christian radio, and I remember thinking, how can she say that people need this in order to pray to God and it costs $20. I mean, that's got to be as bad as the money changers in the temple. It's got to be. And so I remember asking God, Lord, help me to never do that. Help me to never tell somebody to have a good relationship with you. They need to give me money. And so here on Bob and Yurt Live for these 20 years on the air, we don't say you need our teaching material. You don't. What you need is God's word, a copy of the Bible, and a relationship with him. And as you meditate on God's word, study God's word, you'll become more like Christ if that is your heart's desire. But you could also take advantage of teachers. God gave to the body of Christ teachers, pastors, evangelists. It says this in the New Testament. And so when you read the news, you know, Mexico is being run by crime syndicates, large regions in Mexico now. And in Afghanistan, the opium production is back. And all the heroin that's sold around the world because of all the thousands of farmers growing opium. Of course, it hadn't gone away, but it's back in full force in Afghanistan. And so you look at the Obama administration and you see all that it's doing that is incompetent and immoral. If it was only incompetent, then half of Obama's mistakes would be in our favor, half of them, if it was just incompetent. But it's rebellion against God. It's immorality. So that generally, overwhelmingly, his errors are harmful to America, harmful to Christians especially, our churches and families and our kids, children, grandkids. But then we think, okay, so no matter what, when somebody says to you, no matter what, we got to vote out Obama. Just check mark in your mind that this person is shallow and superficial. No matter what, we got to get rid of Obama. Because do you know what that means? What is that code for? No matter what, we got to get rid of Obama. That's eye roll radio. You listen to Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or just name them. It's eye roll radio. Eye roll, like roll your eyes. What they mean is no matter how socialist, no matter how pro-homosexual, no matter how pro-abortion child killing the Republican is, you got to vote for the Republican, even if he will give Planned Parenthood billions of more dollars. No matter that we're destroying the Republican Party, turning it into the Democratic Party, or that we're destroying America because the so-called conservatives are socialist, godless, and rebellion, regardless, you gotta, hey, it's a two-party system. You can't throw away your vote. So we're out of time. Our phone number, 800-88-NYARD, and our website is kgov.com.